Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
All homebrewers have a favorite commercial beer, but not everyone can make it. Welcome to the show that teaches you how, where you can challenge two masters, Jameel Zainasheff and Tasty McDole. This is the Jameel Show. Can you brew it? Now here's Jameel.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. Another episode of... You could turn on Mike's mic. Tasty's mic.
I think I did yesterday's show with it off the whole time.
Yeah. That's why the show was so good.
Yeah.
All right. No, we're here in our Lagunitas Ganza.
Yeah, we got the Lagunitas today, folks. We got it.
We got three Lagunitas shows back to back to back. And because Lagunitas is quite popular with our listeners, and we got a lot of requests for Lagunitas Censored, which we're doing right now. And we're going to follow it up with a Lagunitas IPA and a Lagunitas Brown Sugar.
The sugar.
Yeah. So it's the Lagunitas Ganza. Or Lagunita Ganza.
Extravagant, yeah, right, exactly.
Yes. The other day we were doing a water Ganza, very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Which is three water shows back to back to back. You know, if you listen to podcast, the shows come out every 2 weeks. But if you listen live, you can jump in on the chat. You can listen to all this stuff live. We tend to do multiple shows back to back. And if you go to thebrewingnetwork.com, you can click on the live chat now button. Join in with other listeners, and you can ask questions, you can comment on the show, things like that, and participate. And, you know, participation is a good thing. One thing I want to say that's also a very good thing is our fine sponsor, NorthernBrewer.com. The guys at Northern Brewer, they help us out by making all this programming possible. If you enjoy this show... and you want to keep hearing more of it, go to northernbrewer.com, buy something, and in your comments there, make sure they know that one of the reasons you frequent their establishment is because you enjoy their support of the Brewing Network and the Jameel Show, Can You Brew It? Another
with
fine
Mike McDole.
Thing. with Mike McDole. Sorry. With Tasty McDole.
With that other guy.
Mike Tasty McDole. Well, and another thing we're doing together, Long Shot. Mike and I are going to be working at the Long Shot San Francisco judging.
Yeah, I can't work enough competitions, I tell you.
Well, this is going to be our fourth year in a row, isn't it?
Oh, something, yeah.
Yeah, 4 years we've been helping out with the Long Shot in San Francisco, and I'll tell you, it's a great competition. They don't charge you to enter at all.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free.
Yeah.
Freaking free competition.
Yeah.
So even if you don't think you got a great beer... it's a great opportunity to get feedback on your beer to help you improve what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you need, three or four bottles, and you just need to get them to, the drop-off location, depending on where that is. They've got a place in Boston, they got a place in Chicago, and then San Francisco, which is actually Concord. So if you can get your beers in, doesn't cost you anything, and the deadline is, the 15th
It's the 15th through May 1st, so right. April 15th
okay.
through
April
May
15th
1st.
Through May 1st.
Yeah,
right.
So you got time.
Got a couple weeks to get them in.
Yeah,
but don't delay. Don't put it off. You don't need to drink those bottles of beer. Send them in, and you have a chance at fame and fortune, like my buddy here, Mike Tasty McDole. He's got his picture on the six pack on the bottles. Got his own label. They flew him out to Boston. Yeah.
Got his face on a banner right here in the studio.
Treat him like a king.
Even my homies here think I'm something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. and your beer's coming out right in the Long Shot six pack.
It's people are drinking it as we speak in the. Central states, and right.
And it hits the West Coast pretty soon.
We're waiting for it to hit out here this weekend.
So it's a six-pack of beers, and it's two of each style from the long shot competition. Right. So the winners, and in there we've got the double IPA, Mike McDowell's double IPA, which is based on Vinny's Pliny the Elder. And that's a great beer. And another great one in there is Alec Dropshoff, who's also out here, another winner from San Francisco. And he's got that Bock in there, right?
Right, exactly. Traditional Bock.
Traditional Bock is a great beer as well.
Right.
And
Carissa Swigert is the employee beer. That's a, what is that, a cranberry wit.
Cranberry wit.
Yes.
And, you know, cranberries and wit, cranberries have a nice tartness to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that would go well with it.
You know, it's a nice, you know, variety pack. You get a little bit of everything in there. You get malty, hoppy, and fruity.
I'll tell you, that's actually, that's probably one of the best six packs you can buy.
I'm seeing that.
For variety.
Like that,
you know? Yeah, you get, exactly. You get a hoppy, you get a really malty, and you get kind of a light, refreshing, fruity beer.
Yeah. I expect it's going to sell out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the kind where people will buy it, and then they'll go back and buy another six-pack.
Right,
because
they
liked it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. That's actually, if you were to put together a variety pack, that's actually a good
booze?
Way to go.
No booze? Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could throw in a sour beer there.
Like,
but, you know, you only got six slots, and you want to do two bottles
of
each.
Well, think about you could do with six different beers. Wow.
Right, right. Well, but, you know, it's nice to have two of each.
That's
you
true.
Because you enjoy
especially
it.
If you like
one.
Another.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or if you want to share with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, get yourself to the store, find the long shot six pack, and then, you know, you can come on, tell Tasty. You could get in the live chat and tell Tasty what you think of his long shot beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I bet you if we get enough people, we could get Alex on here, and they could tell him what they think of the Bock.
That's right. We'll get him on here.
Yeah. No, that'll be great. Anyways, so we're going to be covering the...
Oh, where do you enter that competition? I remember. I forget the website. Was that samuadams.com?
Yeah. Samuadams.com. Oh, there you go. And you could probably just search for Long Shot or something.
Yeah. samuadams.com, and then there is a promotions page you can go check out. Give you all the rules, where to enter, when to enter, how much to enter, everything you need to know. samuadams.com.
Free. Frickin' free.
Free, yeah.
When you pay, you know, $9 an entry or $14 an entry, it's nice to have free because, again, you know, you got a shot at winning, but win or not, enter whatever beers you got because, you know, you're gonna find that you'll get some pretty darn good feedback from the judges. It's
blind excellent judges.
Honest opinions. You know, they don't know it's your beer, and they're going to give you good feedback and how to you know what needs to be improved or you know whether it's a flawless beer or whatever. They'll let you know that. So
well, and I'm selfish. I just want to see another BNR's face on the bottle. That's what I care about.
That's right.
More
well,
BN Army members in the spotlight.
Right. That'll be a lot of fun. And today, a lot of fun is going to be covering Lagunitas Censored. It's kind of a an amber ale. It's actually on the BJCP style guides as a classic example of amber ale.
American amber.
American amber, right?
Yes.
And for me, it's got a kind of a malty character to it, firmly bitter. The bitterness carries through to the end. It's you know, it's got a pointed bitterness to it. But it's not
doesn't finish bitter.
It doesn't finish bitter, and it's not you know, it's obviously got a bitterness to it, but you know, enough maltiness kind of carries it through. I wouldn't say it's evenly balanced, but it's not excessively bitter either.
No.
You know, it's just enough to nice kind of cleanse the palate and make you want more.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for in an amber ale. Is sort of a little malt forward, but still hot presence.
A little malt and a little bit of caramel.
Yeah,
kind of a caramel note to it.
Right.
Crystal caramel malt note to it. It was kind of nice, part of a amber ale character.
Right.
And generally, kind of you know, what's interesting is there's some esters to it, but it's fairly clean. It's not like you know a Cal Ale or a 1056. Yeast type of clean, but you know, very restrained esters. Those esters are there, but in moderate levels. So it adds some complexity and adds some interest to the beer, but not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of hop flavor or aroma. It's a very restrained. There's some in there, but not a lot.
Right.
And you know, overall a very refreshing, good session beer. Right. Yeah, I could drink a couple of pints of that. I don't know about you guys, but,
yeah,
but
definitely.
That's a good one. All right. So what we'll do, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to hear Jeremy Marshall from Lagunitas kind of tell us all about Lagunitas Censored. Back after this.
Okay, so my double IPA has an ABV of 7.5 and a clarity of brilliant. So that's a plus 8. I pour it.
Sorry, looks like she found it unpalatable.
Ha!
Shut up, Doug.
My creek gets a plus 10 versus girls because it's a fruit beer.
You can't open the bottle, and she walks over to the guy with the Pinot Grigio.
This sucks!
Ugh, I hate it when Greg's the brewmaster.
What's this? Non-Alcoholics Anonymous?
Dude, get out of here. We're in the middle of a brew session.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Have you ever been called upon to explain why it's named India Pale Ale? Do you burp Y-Yeast 3522 and Crap Cascade? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the Tongue Splitter.
I've got Tri-Hop stuck in my braces.
And the Bourbon Barrel Porter.
Now on tap in the Mos Eisley Cantina.
Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Homebrewers, listen up. Have you seen Mike McDowell's picture on that sweet Sam Adams six-pack? Well, it's your turn. Did you know that two prior long shot winners have gone on to become professional brewers themselves? It's time to enter this year's Samuel Adams Long Shot American Homebrew Contest. Jim Cook first brewed Samuel Adams Boston Lager in his kitchen using a 100-year-old recipe from his great-great-grandfather. This is your chance to have your handcrafted homebrew recipe distributed all across America. Be the next homebrewer on the Sam Adams Long Shot Six Pack. This year's contest is going on right now, and you should be a part of it. Time is running out, though. All entries must be received between April 15th and May 1st. Go to samadams.com for all the details and to register your entry, which, by the way, is free. The Samuel Adams Long Shot American Homebrew Contest. Giving back to where it all began. Enter today.
White Labs, your source for maltose mowing monsters, announces the White Labs Platinum lineup for 2009. Looking for out-of-the-ordinary yeast to make the best beer possible? The Platinum strains from White Labs are only available for a limited time and make your homebrew stand out. Through February, find Australian Ale, Essex Ale, and Dusseldorf Alt Yeast. March and April, it's Nottingham Ale, Abbey 4, and Mexican Lager Yeast. And May through June, don't miss Premium Bitter Ale, Belgian Wit 2, and Belgian Bastogne Ale Yeast. Keep up with all the great yeasts in the White Labs Platinum Program at whitelabs.com, where you can also join the White Labs Customer Club. Brew with the freshest and most unique yeast with the White Labs 2009 Platinum Strains. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
I'm here with Jeremy Marshall, head brewer of Lagunitas Brewing Company. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for joining us. How you doing today?
I'm doing excellent.
Great. You know, your beers are distributed in a large number of states across the country, even in Canada. And so I think a number of people might be familiar with your beers, except for those unlucky people in the states where you don't distribute yet. But
red states?
I wonder if you know, some of the people may not know the story of the Lagunitas Brewery. Can you give us a kind of a short history of Lagunitas, how it came to be, and how it got to
sure thing
to where it is today?
So Lagunitas Brewing Company was started up in 1993, and the owner Tony McGee. Basically just was an avid home brewer and was just brewing in his garage. And he was getting some instruction from some of the other, you know, just some camaraderie with some of the other brewers in the area. Randy Grimp, who's currently the head brewer of Third Street. At the time, he worked at the Calistoga Inn. And also Grant over at Black Diamond. And they, so they were just like some you know, fellow brew buddies, and we're kind of just, you know, showing them hops, and they would brew, and he basically got to the point where he graduated out of the 5-gallon batch and decided to bite the bullet and to spend the money on a little 3.5 barrel direct fire system. And oddly enough, that yielded 7 kegs, which was the exact same amount of beer the back of his pickup truck could hold. And just locally around the area of Lagunitas, Forest Knolls, and just, you know, kind of Marin County, Sonoma County, would just load up kegs in the back of his truck and go and visit restaurants. And everybody just really liked the beer and just the big, you know, positive response. And so that just kind of kept him going. And I'd say the biggest analogy to the way that he started then would kind of be like Brian from Moonlight. Now he's kind of a, you know, he really does it all. I'll be at a bar at, like, you know, midnight, and here he comes, you know, wrangling a keg. You know, he just does it all. And yeah, and it's that's kind of what you have to do if you're going to start your own place. You got to be ready. It's not a party. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of stress. And so that's what Tony was doing, and everybody really liked the beer and the full bodied nature of it, and just all the hops and everything. And then he kind of moved into the back of an old grocery store in Forest Knolls, and didn't know a whole lot about wastewater, and unfortunately was drained a little bit of yeast down the drain, and it overwhelmed the city septic system, and they had one response. That was see you later, get out. And so he had to move to a more populous region that had a little bit more wastewater, you know, more bugs at their facility. So he relocated to Petaluma, to across the street from our current location. And very quickly outgrew that location, and then moved across the street where we currently reside, 1280 North McDowell. And if anybody's ever been there, then they know what I mean by this. It's pretty tight. A lot of the tanks are touching each other, and there's not a whole lot of room. It's we're really, really growing into the warehouse, but it's still serving us well. And that probably brings us up to the present.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you guys are right there off of Highway 101 in Petaluma, and you guys do tours at the brewery, don't you?
Yeah, that's correct. Anyone and everyone is encouraged to come by Monday through Friday at 3:00. They'll sit you down, and it's completely free. You can do some samples. We'll give you as much beer as we're legally able to give you, and then after a little tasting, let you tour the bottling facility and the filtration and the cellar, and you can see our two wonderful dry hop cannons that we have, and then our brand new German Rolex brew house that we just got 1 year ago to date. And then as well as our outdoor tank farm, juxtaposed against the beauty of Sonoma Mountain.
Great. It's a wonderful place, and I know people have a wonderful time if they get a chance to visit. And, you know, one of my my favorite beers, actually, and the more I drink of it, the more I love it, is Lagunitas Censored. And it's actually a favorite of a lot of listeners by the number of requests we got. You know, it's got that wonderful, you know, kind of not overwhelming, but a gentle caramel malt character that really fills it out, a kind of a biscuity background note, and even a slightly... an orange, a citrus kind of note in there, and even a slightly spicy note to it. I was having some just the other day, and just thinking about how, you know, the more I drank of it, the more I really, really enjoyed that beer, and a rich, thick mouthfeel. I'm very impressed with that beer. Can you share your secrets for brewing that beer with us?
Oh, no problem.
So why don't you start us off with what's the starting gravity on that beer?
Okay, the starting gravity is 16 degrees Plato.
Mm-hmm. And your length of your boil on that?
That's a standard 60-minute boil.
Mm-hmm. And how many IBUs and finishing gravity?
Okay, IBUs is, I guess these days would be considered a little bit on the low end at about 35.
Mm-hmm.
And the final gravity is between 4.5 and 5 degrees Plato.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And mash temp?
Right. It's basically the best way to do it, even though, like, it's, you know, a little different on our new system. We do a temperature program mash simply because we can, but we made Sensor just fine for many, many years on our single infusion mash tun, mm-hmm. and we did a mash temperature of 156 Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm. That's part of what gives it such a rich body to that beer, right?
Yeah. So if we mashed it in at 150 as opposed to 156, it mm-hmm. would just make it too fermentable and too dry, and then that carameliness that you pointed out, it just wouldn't really pop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how about the grain bill on this beer?
Okay, it's 74% two-row pale, or our base malt of your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And 8% malted wheat,
mm-hmm.
10% Munich, the 10 lava bond, 6.5% C60,
mm-hmm.
and only 0.04, so 0.004% of roasted barley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that's the secret ingredient that I think just it's that little pinch of roast that gives it that little biscuitiness.
All right. What lava bond is that roasted barley you use?
Oh, you know, I don't even know, but if I had to guess, I would say 500.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the maltster?
It's the Hubert roasted barley.
Okay. Great. Okay, so that's it for the grain bill. Then what about... Uh-huh.
Okay. We're going to do grams per liter.
Okay.
And we have standard 1, 2, and 3. So that's a bitterness, a mm-hmm. flavor, and then a whirlpool hop.
Mm-hmm.
So starting with the bitterness hop, we do 0.2 grams per liter of Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 12% alpha acid.
Mm-hmm.
So Horizon, if you couldn't find it, you could maybe try like a nugget.
Mm-hmm.
Since both of the hops are derived from the Brewer's Gold, so they're cousins, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in the bitterness edition is 0.3 of a gram per liter of Willamette at 4.6% alpha acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all for the first hop edition.
Mm-hmm.
And then the middle hop edition, which is at 30 minutes, is 0.7 of a gram per liter of Willamette.
Mm-hmm.
And 0.1 of a gram per liter of Centennial.
Mm-hmm.
Followed with 0.2 grams per liter of Cascade.
Mm-hmm.
And I should mention the Centennial is about 10% alpha, and the Cascade is about 6%.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's it for the middle flavor edition.
Mm-hmm.
And then the you mentioned the kind of slightly citrusy character, and that's going to be all this last hop edition, which is the Whirlpool hop. And it's 0.4 of a gram per liter of Centennial, along with this amount, 0.4 of a gram per liter of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right in the Whirlpool. And on this beer, there is no dry hop.
Okay. Do you do a lot of dry hopping on your other beers?
Actually, it's kind of interesting. We have, we always have, and we pretty much dry hop every single beer we make, but the Censored and the Pilsner. And all the other beers are dry hopped and have always been. it's kind of funny because dry hopping has gotten tremendously popular in the past 5 to 10 years, but you know, definitely, we're a huge advocate, and beers that people like to get really out there with, you know, 2 or 3 pounds per barrel. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been a little bit reluctant, but starting about 3 years ago, we did start brewing those kind of beers too, and you know, those are beers that the brewers really like, but you know, some of the more old school people, they're just like, oh, it's not balanced, and so that's one thing about the Censored that. Yeah, we find that a lot of people who aren't hopheads and just, you know, they take a sip of a real hoppy beer and they say, oh, you know, really, it tastes like pine cones. The Censored is a beer that they really can deal with well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say Lagunitas must be kind of unusual in that almost every beer is dry hopped. I don't know. I've never heard of another brewery that does that. Have you, or you know, any of your?
Yeah, I would say dry hopping is probably more common than maybe what they're saying, especially these days. I mean, it's you know, kind of sad to say it, but some of the most fast growing categories in craft are massively dry hopped. And of course, that's going to include your Imperial IPAs and your even regular IPAs and anything West Coast style. So if it's a West Coast style pale ale or West Coast style IPA, and even now, what's quite popular are these massively dry hopped Belgian beers, which personally I find delicious. But you know, there's only opinions out there, and other people think they're disgusting, and they're equally right.
Okay, so on this beer, what about yeast? What kind of yeast do you use on this?
We're using the highly flocculent English ale, and on we're using Y yeast, so that's going to be 1968.
1968, okay. And the equivalent on White Labs would be the WLP002 English Ale. Both great products. And what sort of fermentation temperature?
We're fermenting this beer at 66 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. Nice restraint.
But it, at 85% attenuated, so right around, if it's going to go to 5 Plato, right around 6.5% Plato, we're gonna ramp that up to around 70 for a diacetyl rest for at least 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that English yeast will produce a fair amount of diacetyl, especially with the heightened activity, you're going to reabsorb that diacetyl. And because I don't get any diacetyl out of this beer at all. So clearly, you know, it's got a nice fermentation profile and you know, very clean as far as anything like diacetyl goes.
Well, I'm sure if you sent it to a lab and had it tested, I'm knowing that yeast, there probably is a little, but with that with that warm maturation conditioning, it pretty much knocks it out. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. And on this, do you do any sort of water adjustments on this beer?
We're going to Burtonize, so just a little bit of gypsum.
Mm-hmm.
Adding about a...
Mm-hmm. You add that to the mash or to the brew kettle?
Yes.
Or both?
We're going to do both. Obviously, much more to the mash due to the precipitation to the spent grain. We're looking for about 100 parts per million calcium in the mash, and then that's going to end up about 50 in the kettle, and we're adding just a tiny pinch, almost nothing, with those bitterness hops to reconstitute what we lost, so that in the final product we're looking at 60 parts per million. And on a segue, there's a good book out there called The Principles it's called A Textbook of Brewing Calculations, and he has some just a stellar little section in there on minerals that can really break it down.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Anything else we should know in order to brew this beer?
No, that's about it. Definitely get the yeast out of there as soon as the fermentation slows down, because since it's not dry hopped or anything like that, autolysis flavors are going to be really, really noticeable if you don't get those yeast out of there. So mm-hmm. That's as soon as the fermentation's done, get the beer off the yeast.
Okay. Great tip. Well, thank you, Jeremy, for sharing all this great information about brewing one of our listeners' favorite beers. And I look forward to seeing you out at Lagunitas in Petaluma. Are you guys going to make it out to the National Homebrewers Conference in Oakland this year?
Yep, I just received a word today that we will be there.
Excellent. Any idea what beers you're going to bring?
You know, I don't really know. I'm pretty sure. What day is that?
That is June 18th through the 20th, and I think Pro Brewers Night is the 19th or the 18th. Yeah.
So in June, our seasonals, we should have some Lucky 13 going.
Oh.
And I'm sure we'll bring plenty of Hop Stupid and IPA Censored and. Brown sugar, not a good time of year for that one, so won't be any of that.
Yeah, that one's like an October fall beer, right?
Actually, it's even a little later. We start brewing it up in November, and it's kind of a we let it out maybe a week or two before the kind of the holidays start up. So more of a December release.
Okay. Great, great Christmas present for yourself out there, listeners. Get yourself a few bombers of brown sugar, or barring that, get yourself any Lagunitas bigger and treat yourself with that as well. Thank you, Jeremy, for joining us. I appreciate all your time and all the great information.
Yep, anytime. Thank you.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way!
You had to beat a 24. It's Schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks! I just failed versus oxidation! Our party is fracked! Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss!
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost!
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, strizzle, spalt, and fart Y-Yeast 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention. Showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
Downtown Joe's, located in the historic Oberon Building in beautiful downtown Napa, California, offers an award-winning brew pub experience from 8:30 a.m. to 1 a.m. every day. For 15 years at the corner of 2nd and Main, Downtown Joe's has been voted best night spot 7 times and best brew pub for the last 4 years in a row. Brewmaster Colin Kaminsky's handcrafted ales, like his Tailwagon Amber Ale and Catherine the Great Imperial Stout, are the perfect accent to riverside dining, live music, and a relaxing outdoor patio. Don't miss the Beer of the Month, special rotating taps, and happy hour all day Mondays. Visit downtownjoes.com to make reservations, peruse their extensive calendar of events, or just read more about their fantastic beers. Come enjoy the fine beer, food, and music. Downtown Joe's, the award-winning brew pub where you'll feel at home. Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
We're back. We're talking Lagunitas Censored. That's our challenge today, is can we brew Lagunitas Censored clone? Can we match those things up? And Jeremy was quite nice. I mean, yeah. Very helpful. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I had heard that... I keep talking about the rest of you, but the only ones with mics turned on is Tasty and myself. You know, I had heard that, you know, Lagunitas was very tight-lipped about their recipes and their processes. Yeah. And
well, a lot of them are that way. And I generally assume that's the case. Then I'm always surprised when
And I think it's kind of the magic of the Brewing Network.
Yeah.
People are like, yeah, all right, sure, I can do the recipe. What the heck? You know, we're going to be on the air? Okay, sounds good.
Well, so, I know, I've dealt with enough recipes to realize that it's a relatively small part of the equation. So
right, that's true. Right. Yeah, I think
I don't think they know that at the brewery too.
Somebody gives you the recipe and
good luck.
You
with
know,
that.
You got to do some adjusting, to get there. Well, and the recipe that we came up with, Mike and myself, we came up with on this is to brew censored. For a 6-gallon batch, U.S. gallons or. Oh, that works out to be what? A million liters. I don't know.
20 liters. 23.7 liters or
something. all right. Anticipated original gravity 1066. It's just a smidge over 16 Plato. SRM was 12.9. And here's the interesting thing. You know, the IBUs on censored on the 6-pack say 25.
Yes.
Using the Rager formula and what I got from the discussion and what I get from tasting the beer, I bumped it up to 35.1. And the reason being, we taste these beers before we brew them. We match them up to the recipe and we say, well, you know, does that seem right? Does that not? And the grams per liter of hops that we got from Jeremy, I'm sure, you know, he's given us absolutely the straight poop on it, but it just didn't turn out correct in what we had.
Our and typical so, utilization.
So we bumped them all up on all, on the recipes we were doing. Mm. So let me go over the grain. In this case, it's either 11.82 pounds of two-row, American two-row, or 5.36 kilograms. Wheat malt, 1.27 pounds, or 0.57 kilograms. 1.58 pounds of a Munich malt, and or 0.71 kilograms, and then 1.03 pounds of Crystal 60, 0.47 kilograms. And then roast barley, 0.07 pounds, or about 300 grams, or 30 grams, I'm sorry, exactly 30 grams of roasted barley. And that's, you know, grams are much easier unit to work with, especially in hops.
Right.
So I'm no longer going to give hops in imperial measurements. Screw that. From now on,
when I quit,
I'm giving hops in grams because that's the way I measure them. That's the way I brew because I'm weighing them in grams. I'm not weighing, you know, 0.37 ounces of freaking hops.
Go back to Russia. We're Americans here. Give us the American units.
Communist.
I was born in freaking Redwood City. Redwood City.
Is that in Russia?
Sounds awful close to Russia to me.
Yeah,
yeah, it's across the bay, you worthless
bastard.
It's
a shirt for something else.
So
you know,
no,
Redwood,
no.
Get it, Redwood.
I'm joining the Red. Yeah, I'm joining the rest of the world in smartening up on, you know, doing things in grams and kilos
not
and liters.
World.
Well, I'll tell you this: for hops, 27.24 grams of Willamette. Huh? I don't hear any whining from you bitches.
Actually, it is based in the hops.
Right. You know,
just don't do the grains that way.
No. Yeah, it's so much easier.
Grams of grains. 400 grams of...
How about micrograms?
Kilos. Kilos for grains. And but the roasted barley. 0.07 pounds of roasted barley or 30 grams? Which one do you want to try and measure?
Well, you're right.
All right. Okay. So, all right, 27.24 grams of Willamette at 4.6% alpha acid. These are pellet hops. That's at 60 minutes. 4.54 grams of Horizon at 12% alpha acid, 60 minutes.
You had Horizon? You have Horizon hops?
Yes.
I needed some of those.
Been holding out.
Well,
hey, what can I say?
Look, I need your hop inventory.
16 grams of Willamette at 4.6 alpha at 30 minutes. 2.3 grams Centennial at 10% alpha at 30 minutes. 4.5 grams of Cascade at 5.75 alpha at 30 minutes. And then 9 grams both of Centennial and Liberty at 9% and 4% at 1 minute, just at knockout. And I used the White Labs WLP002 English Ale, and Jeremy mentions the, what was it, the 1968, which is what they use there at Lagunitas, and I imagine those two are slightly different,
yeah,
but close enough that I used the I felt it was close enough that I used the 002 English Ale from White Labs. I'm very familiar with it. I've used it a lot. I tend to have it on hand for my brewing, and that's what I used in this case. Mash temperature, 156 degrees Fahrenheit, and that is in C. I don't know. What does the chart say here? It says, I don't know.
It says we need another beer. It
says you need to check that calculation yourself, because I didn't write it down. 156, and then ferment at 66 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, what's interesting is, like always, I kind of jacked this up and... This was my later beer of the day, and it starts getting dark, and the wind picks up at the
your
estate.
Brew day, you're describing, yeah, your brew day.
Yeah, at the estate, the wind picks up,
like,
and it freaking starts blowing. It blows out the burner, and, you know, the I can't keep a boil going, and it's dark, yeah, and there's no lights on that side. And
you got a new house, and it hasn't been like...
Yeah. This is on the south end of the estate, and it is just... Just
it's
a
public
giant,
housing, isn't it?
Public housing.
Oh.
Yeah. So I ended up with an original guy. I mean, instead of 1066, 1063. So 3 points off. But like we discovered earlier in, you know, like the Pullman Brown show, you'd be 10 points off and didn't really seem to matter, right? So 1063, and it was supposed to finish at 1018 to 1020.
Right.
I finished at 1017. So that actually matches up pretty close with, you know, the, you know, lower gravity. So I'm right in there.
Right.
And what's the consensus here? So we've had a chance to taste this. We've tasted the...
We've tasted the hell out of this
beer. Yeah, we tasted the, you know, blind tasting.
Yes.
You know, the only one that knows in the studio which beer is which is the brewer.
And then even then we you know, do some sort of shell game here and don't look at the...
So we try and kind of fool ourselves, but the rest of the people in the studio do not know which beer is which. They have no... The beers are poured in a separate room. They're brought out. Nothing said. The amounts in the glasses are the same, and then they're told to just, you know, do their comparison and tell us whether it's a clone or not. So, on the censored. Justin. Cloned? Not cloned.
I'm having a tough time with this one.
This is a yes or no answer here, I think. So choose your answer wisely.
Not cloned.
Not cloned. And why is it not cloned?
They just taste... I think that there's a significant difference. In what I later found out was the actual censored. I think it's a maltier beer. Than the homebrew. The homebrew had a much more pronounced perfumey hop character. And I don't mean just the aroma. The aroma was similar enough. But just that perfume hop flavor is what got in the way for me. And the other one's just really a maltier beer. So I think they're similar beers. Hmm. But I would not have been able to say that it's that malt character that I think the homebrew is missing. Or it's that it's overshadowed by that perfume hop thing I'm getting. And that's why I say no.
Interesting. Is it that? Or possibly you have your head up your ass? That's why.
Let me check. Let me check.
It very well.
He is a little muffled. That's not earwax either. That's something. Well, maybe he does.
I'm curious what you guys think, because if you don't identify with anything I'm saying, I'm going to be...
No, I'll tell you what.
Something's up. Something's going on.
I got exactly what you got, but I'm able to like discount some of that. Like, for instance, I know for a fact that the cloned beer is... How old is this beer? 15 days? 14 days?
Not even that, I think.
Okay, it's pretty young, very young beer.
Right.
And
less than 14
days. And the commercial beer can't be, you know, if they got it to us absolutely quick as possible, it's probably 6 weeks old or something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I know from experience that that beers, especially these kind of beers that are fairly well balanced and with a fair amount of hopping, mm-hmm. are going to change to the malty side over time.
Right, right.
And, you know, given the goal here is to... come up with a recipe where you can clone the beer, I think that in tasting these, I have to take that into account. That if I were to say, I wouldn't want to change the recipe to make it maltier, mm-hmm. because I'm thinking that once the beer matures, it's going to be too malty.
Right.
So I'm tasting what's here today and comparing this to what I think it's going to be.
And that's so you say point. That, with that being age. Said, what do you say then?
I say it's cloned.
Yeah. Do you think that if it aged a bit that malt...
I think you would get the malt. Okay. That's what would come out.
Yeah. What about Chatter then? Chad? Oh, hang on, let me.
I thought it was cloned.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a great example of the commercial. And I don't know. I mean, maybe, yeah, the hop character was there a little more in the nose.
Right.
Fresh beer, just as Tasty said. But, boy, I mean, pretty spot on.
Well, that was kind of the impression I got, too, is, you know... when I picked up the six pack of censored at the store, I picked up from a grocery store where I don't think it was treated very well.
Typically not.
So you know, wasn't that certain? You know, it was stored warm, and I'm not sure how long. You know, there was dust on the bottle, so it that may have had a little bit of an impact to it. But you know, that was all I could get my hands on the way down here. So. Yeah, maybe if we got it fresh from the brewery. I think there was some subtle differences, like the hop aroma. I think there was a slight bit of oxidation coming on in the censored, which kind of accentuates kind of a malty kind of mm-hmm. character there.
I could see that.
Yeah. the censored that I brewed, I thought it was actually a little sweeter than the commercial censored, not quite as dry. And, you know, when I first was bottling it up for the show earlier today, I'm like, oh, crap, it's really sweet compared to the two, you know. And then it just had a real low carbonation, so I put in one of those plastic bottles, put a carbonator cap on there. I jacked up the PSI to like 30, and, you know, I just hoped it would have enough carbonation when I got here from the drive down that, you know, it would be close. And it turned out it made a big difference. It really did. And, you know, with the proper carbonation level, then it dried out a little bit, and it seemed much closer. You know, without carbonation, it seemed really sweet.
Sure.
So, in this, I think, you know, I think Mike makes an excellent point as far as, you know, time having its effects and, you know, finding a fresh example of the commercial beer to compare. And then I'm not sure if I still wouldn't bump up the IBUs just a hair. You know, maybe another couple of IBU instead of going with 27 grams of Willamette at 60 minutes and 4.5 of Horizon. I might go, you know, bump it up to like 6 of Horizon, 6 grams or 7 grams of Horizon at 60 minutes.
Hmm.
Just, you know, just a hair more. It was close.
Now, did you use any water treatment on this beer, or did you?
No, I didn't. And now that was the interesting thing. Tasty.
Don't need to, how about
Tasty? You're firing on all cylinders tonight. I think so. The shots have helped. The thing I think is you know, they were mentioning the gypsum, and I did not use gypsum in this, so that would give a crisper, firmer hop bitterness. So you're right. I wouldn't increase the I would have done the gypsum addition like they're saying. Exactly. So yeah, I think maybe that was it. But and then mine also isn't filtered, so you know that might have some impact as well.
Yeah.
But I would go with cloned on this one as well. So I think the consensus then, yeah, we got one dissenter.
Justin's an idiot. I think that's pretty much.
You know, Tasty, when I'm going to remember this when no one's, standing
sensitive
on your side.
Now we're getting sensitive. Wait. I
don't need this trouble.
I don't need this headache.
That's right. Your talent.
He's going to
leave.
This anymore.
I'm a hack,
have to take this.
Yeah, I work for free, so.
All right. So, we got any comments or questions in the chat room on this one?
Yeah, most of them agree with Tasty that I'm a douche and that my taste buds are bad and et cetera, et cetera.
Got some of the smartest listeners out there.
How do they perceive all that? Wow.
Well, listen, at least they know that I'm speaking my mind. I'm not going to just fall in line like Chad and tell you how wonderful your scrotum is time you bring a beer in here.
That's why we bring Chad in. We tell him what to say.
We like our scrotum being complimented. Yes.
One comment following up with Tasty, though, was that they would be interested in a tasting of this in a few weeks and see if maybe Tasty's right, if his assessment is that an age thing.
Yeah.
So
right.
Just a suggestion to you guys. I don't know if you want to bring it up on a later show.
3 weeks.
That's a good point.
A lot of people did thank you for your metric hop conversion.
There you go.
You switching over to grams.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing metric measurements of my hops for ages, and the only reason I do it in Imperial was just for like the show, for the book, or whatever. And really, it's like a pain to have to convert it. And everybody should be measuring their hops in grams, unless you're thrown in by the bucket load.
Then it's bucket loads.
Yeah, or you know, by the pound. Yeah. At a commercial brewery, that's fine. But if you're home brewing, you're using measurements that it really should be done in grams because, you know, it's far more precise when you're talking about it. And it's fine if you do an ounce, you know, if you're not. But when you're trying to clone something and you're trying to match somebody else, you know, the point hundredths of ounces is just a royal pain in the ass. It should be grams.
Yeah.
I think the new Jameel compound is in Cuba.
Oh, right. Yeah, did you hear Obama opened up Cuba? There we go.
I read that today.
Let's go.
Just in time for your conversion over to Graham's.
We go over, yeah, and I'm sure Fidel brews, you know, in metric.
In metric. And finally, there was a lot of discussion about the beer. One comment that somebody made in the chat was about the brewers, about Jeremy's preoccupation with autolysis. He seemed pretty worried about yeast autolysis.
Right.
And so I just wondered what you thought about that.
Well, I noticed that too, and you know, for me, I just like, what the heck, you know, I left this on the yeast for 11 days or 10 days, whenever I was busy, so I really didn't care. I left it at fermentation temperature because, you know, my yeast was healthy going in, and I know that I'm pitching, you know, the proper amount, all the yeast was healthy, I've left behind any bad yeast.
Aerated.
And, you know, if the yeast was going to die so fast... that, you know, 10 days or 2 weeks was a problem, then, you know, White Labs and White Yeast wouldn't be able to sell you yeast. You know, you'd have a vial of sludge in, you know, a month. It would be all dead. But in a month, it's still all pretty, you know, and they do some tricks to make sure it's, you know, it's at prime health and loaded with a lot of reserves to live out that period of time. But
does it make a difference that they have so many more yeast cells, you know, being a bigger batch, do you think?
Well, you know, it may depend on the process.
Yeah.
So now if you're repitching and if you're not rinsing your yeast to drop out any dead cells, things like that, I mean, that may be part of it. And if you're just, you know, selecting a piece of yeast out of a fermenter and then tossing in the next one right away, which is what most commercial breweries do, they don't do a rinsing process, then you may have cells in there that are going to die, and that could be an issue. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure what they're doing is the right thing for their brewery. You know, Jeremy really seems like he knows what he's doing, seems like he's on top of things, you know, and I would not second guess that. In the home brewery, when you're starting from a fresh pack of White Yeast or White Labs, and you've made a starter and all that, and you know, it's fine. You're going to be fine for however long it takes you to get the beer ready.
Okay. But if we're repitching, then you may want to be concerned about that. You're saying, like, say I threw a wart on top of an old
right. Yeah, I would not reuse an entire yeast cake or anything like that. I always rinse the yeast so I can let the dead cells drop out, the Braunhof and all that stuff drop out, that crud, and just use the healthy yeast.
Cool. And rinsing, that information's on the White Labs website, right? How to do that?
I've seen yeast washing on sites, but rinsing, I'm not sure if they have.
What do you call rinsing? Not to
rinsing, just sterile water and kind of, you know,
let it stratify
it up. Yeah,
and then pour it off.
Right. We've done a couple of shows on the recent Brew Strong show. We talked about repitching yeast.
That.
You never heard of that?
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, never heard of that one. Is that where's that?
Where's that at?
I do have one more question from the chat. That small amount of roasted malt.
Uh-huh.
They were asking. They said, "Are you supposed to grind that more than the rest of the malt? And then when do you put that in the mash, or does that just go with the whole grist?"
Just goes with the whole grist. You know, in this case, you don't grind it more. You just throw it in with the rest of your grains and run it through the mill. There's no extra control. Now, there are times in the past when I've done that with things like Carafa, which has the Carafa Special without a husk, and you grind it fine because you just can and not increase any tannic astringency. There's things like if you're making a Guinness clone, where Guinness, they pound their roasted barley into dust, you know, so you grind it fine like a powder and then add that. So those are the only two times I can think of that you really grind your highly kilned malts more than normal.
Okay. All right, and that's it from the chat.
Great. Well, I think it's another successful cloning. Another successful can you brew it, and we met the challenge.
Yeah, it's a very good beer.
Yeah, I think we did good. And if you want to brew this beer yourself, go to our fine sponsor, northernbrewer.com. They've got the ingredients to brew up this fine beer. And, you know, show them the support, show them love. Maybe brew this one real quick. Get it in the long shot. Enter it. It's a classic example of the American Amber style. Get it in there and have fun with that. And we'll be coming up next with
If you're listening live, the Lagunitas IPA, our Lagunita Ganza, continues with Lagunitas IPA. Until then, brew strong.